This is Farm Chatter Live. We're doing take two. I tried doing it outside. I guess it was a bit windy. There was feedback, etc. It wasn't really good, so we're going to do this again. Doing an afternoon show for the first time. Our guest is from Israel today. Been joined by Enalai Torani, who is Nathan Hirsch. He works at the National Library of Israel. So we'll be discussing that in Sfarim Market, etc. Wait for him to get on now. And sorry about that. Anybody was on before, we'll just restart. It was about 2 minutes, so we'll just start over. Okay, take two. You're on.
Is this better?
We'll see.
Okay.
So thanks for
Sounds
joining.
yeah.
Okay, so we were saying before, but we'll restart is, I guess, start from the beginning again. Your name, where you're from, tell everyone about yourself.
Right. So again, my name's Nathan Hirsch. I was originally born in Muncie, and my parents made Aliyah with me and my brothers when I was 9 years old. Moved to the city of Modi'in, which is just a brand new city. And so I was again, I was nine, so I went to elementary school, high school. Just I can I view myself as fairly Israeli. Went through a pretty Israeli childhood. And that includes going to Hesder Yeshiva. So if you aren't familiar, Hesder is when you combine army service with yeshiva. You go to yeshiva, then you go to the army, then you go back to yeshiva. It's a 5-year program. I did that. I stayed on a little bit longer than the regular 5 years, going to Kollel. And while I was doing that, I also started taking college courses in Herzog Academy, which is a teaching academy that is next to or part of the Gush, another has the yeshiva, Revival Lichtenstein, all those guys. And I didn't necessarily want to be a teacher per se, but I did know that I wanted to do something in humanities. And like I studied, the teaching of Talmud and Machshava, and they counted a lot of my yeshiva courses as college credits. So it just seemed like a good idea. Like, might as well get credits for things I'm doing now, and then I could kind of continue on, in that field. And while I was doing that, I eventually it became time for me to leave yeshiva, and so I was looking for jobs, and I came across someone posted really quite randomly. Someone posted online. Actually, no, it wasn't posted online. I got it to my email. Like my friend's brother was looking for people. My friend's brother worked in the National Library, and he was looking for an assistant of some sort. And I thought, okay, that's good. It was like flexible hours. It was a part-time job. And I thought that'd be great. I'd do that and I'd get another job, teaching or something. And I would combine those two into like a full salary. And that job was a little bit different than the one I do now. Maybe we'll get into it. But that's how I found myself in the library. And I've been there since.
How long is that?
This was the, I'm fairly new. This was the summer of 2017, so almost 3 years.
And what was that job? And what do you do now in the library?
So that job was, I thought it was really interesting. The library works with, I mean, maybe just to, just to mention what the library is trying to accomplish. Essentially, the library wants to collect every book. Either written by a Jew or about Judaism, or in Hebrew or about Israel, not necessarily Judaism per se, or printed in Israel. So just very, very broad, very, very ambitious goal. It's been going on for about 150 years. Like even before the state started, it was a private collection that became part of Hebrew U, and now it's its own thing. But So anyway, so what did I do? I came on, and the library w works with a lot of like book salesmen, sort of like Mizrahi type figures, where they go raid someone who is Nifter, or even sometimes go through Gniza. I don't think Mizrahi goes through Gnizas, but they go through Gniza. They're just all sorts of crazy and extreme lengths to obtain very very random things. But every now and then they come across something that they're able to sell to someone like the library, someone very, a very ambitious collector. And my job was to kind of take their offers and make sure that the library didn't already own it, because they weren't necessarily so great at looking up what they had in front of them, looking it up in the catalog to see if the library actually needed that, item. And then once I found that it wasn't, in fact, in the library, I had to decide if we want it to be in the library. So just based on guidelines that were given to me, I would decide if it's something that the library needs and wants, and if it should be part of the collection. Which at the time I thought was very, it was like a very heavy decision for me. I felt like, wow, this is a piece of paper that will either be documented and archived and saved forever, or it's gonna, go back to this, random, storage unit, and no one will ever see it ever again. But that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that time.
Now, in a library.
So I actually work in the same department, but I don't work in purchasing with book salesmen. I work in legal deposits. And for those who aren't familiar, legal deposit is almost, most countries have this. America certainly has this, and most Western countries, is when the state requests of publishers to provide the state. In different countries, it varies. In Israel, it's the National Library. In America, it's the Library of Congress. But the state asks the publisher to provide a certain amount of copies to certain libraries. So in Israel, it's again, two copies of anything published should be deposited in the National Library. And my job is to kind of oversee the, I don't want to say Haredi because it's broader than that, but the rabbinics, and all of the what we would call Sfarim. And make sure that all the publishers are aware of this law and that they're following through, and essentially make sure that that the collection is whole and as whole as it can be, and complete, and so that in the years to come, people doing the job that I did when I was first starting out will have an easier time, because hopefully the collection will be fuller and more complete.
So your job essentially is to make sure that they give the sperm. What if they don't? Is that something, I don't know if you want to discuss that. Is that something that you have to track it down, get a hold of them? What happens then?
Okay, so let's break down my job. I mean, most of my job is information, because as opposed to other communities and other parts of the book world, the specifically the Sfarim market is very, very, very individual. There's a lot of self-publishers, which is not such a common thing. And there's not a lot of advertising, certainly not on the internet. So a huge, huge, huge amount of my job is just information. So I'm actually doing something quite similar to what you're doing, except instead of posting it on Twitter, which I do sometimes as well, I request from the author, publisher, I request the publication to the library. So most of my job, or at least a lot of it, is just centered around that gathering of information. And I try to do that as best as I can, try to make sure that I see everything, that I know about everything. And I think that's the part that's going to be mostly interesting to most of the listeners today. And that's probably what you want to talk about. But there is the other side of my job of, making sure that the books actually do arrive. And there's procedure in place. We send letters, emails, Sometimes people respond, sometimes they don't. You send them another letter, and if it never ends up coming, so, we see what we do about it. Either sometimes all you need to do is, just a phone call and try to explain the situation. And a lot of times people are more than happy to give. Sometimes people don't really check their mail or their email. They kind of just toss things out. Sometimes they don't really understand. Sometimes they feel like they don't have the money or that their copy sold out. So I tell them, here, why don't you give me a digital copy? Which for me is fine. The library can store digital copies, and I don't want to say it's just as good, but it also fills the purpose of keeping everything. And sometimes you have to just decide, listen, a small purchase, all right, so it's not in the library, and maybe somewhere down the line, either one of these book journeymen will end up selling it to us, or maybe it'll end up in some sort of Goonies and someone will pick it up and just bring it. Like, we have a lot of people just collecting all sorts of Kuntrissen that are handed out in schools, just people that come to the library every day, and they just bring whatever they find in their sharp.
Right. Now, I don't know that, just to, for listeners, I don't know that you're qualified or that you want to answer any question about the library, but if anybody has questions about the library, they should feel free to pass it along. By the way, are you on speaker, by the way?
I'm not on speaker. Are you hearing me twice?
No, not twice. A bit of feedback. I don't know why that is. I'm sure.
Why don't I try? I'll change my headphones out 1 second.
It's fine. It's funny. Usually I don't have it, but I don't know. It's my fault, but like this. Yeah, now I'm not hearing feedback. Let's see if we can hear you the same audio quality. Yeah, so like I was saying, I don't know that you're qualified or that you want to answer everything about the library, but if anyone has questions, they should feel free to ask. Maybe and either you'll answer or you won't. I guess the other thing that I wanted to ask you was, you keep mentioning like Kutrace and Pam, but the library one, I think this is someone asking this to me on Twitter. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially the library, like I said, they want to collect every single thing related to Judaism. Every random guy puts out a 15-page kuntros for kids' bar mitzvah. They want that kind of thing. Guy writes his chedushim in a 50-page sefer. They want that. They want everything.
Okay, so that's a good question. And so I think we need to think about the different methods of acquisition, right? So I mentioned before that I've been in purchasing, and there are people who deal with purchasing, like, let's say things coming out in Lakewood or in Brooklyn or in London and anywhere outside of Israel that the Israeli law doesn't govern. So you have to buy those things if you want to keep, your collection full and complete. So there is a budget for those kind of things. But again, just as far as method of acquisition, so there's purchasing, and then there's legal deposit, which is what I mainly deal with now. And then there's gifts, which I mentioned that, sometimes people just come and they leave something, or we get like big donations or other libraries that can be cleaning off some shelves, and they'll let us decide if we want to take some of the books that they're giving up on, all sorts of things like that. So, the different methods of acquisition, they would have different guidelines. What I do, legal deposit, when I send someone an email or a letter and I tell them, listen, legally you have to, I mean, it's a lot nicer than that. It's not as threatening, but essentially what the letter is saying is that, there is this this law that you have to kind of send two copies of your sefer. That is only on books that are printed 50 copies or above, and that are meant for the public. So if it's something that was given out at a bar mitzvah, I don't it's not that I don't want it. If someone would try to sell it to me, or if someone would give it to me, then we would have to think. Obviously, if it's a gift, it's very, very easy to just decide to keep it. And if it's for sale, you'd have to ask, the people who decide those things. But I guess at the right price, and if it's the right kind of thing, if it's not just Likutim, or if it's not just photocopies of different Sfarim kind of just put together, and it's not, You know, if it's actual chidushim that someone wrote for their wedding or their kid's bar mitzvah or whatever it is, then certainly at the right price, I think the library would keep it. It's not really a space issue. It's really just the issue of, you know, how are we asking for it? If it's for sale, if it's through legal deposit, or if it's via donation.
Right. I wanted to jump in here for a second in the comments. Commented about that comment. Zweshkin said whatever. I think that was your question on Twitter, and I just passed it along. I'm not sure what you mean by that. I don't know what you saw. I don't respond to every comment, but I'm not really sure what you're talking about. I merely was actually trying to ask your question, but okay, whatever. Anyways, back to that. Okay. Now, otherwise, you were saying that you kind of, and I imagine you go to farm stores a lot. You're in contact with the stores, distributors. Oh, Twitter asked you to rate a comic book to the cat. I don't know. That's very weird. I'm not sure why. I thought it was a good question. So you must go to a lot of stores. So I guess I wanted to jump into something that is kind of similar to what I do, and being that you're doing the same kind of thing, which is, I had a show once I discussed it. That is, you know, kind of the farm market overall. You know, what is your take? It's not a library, but it's something that you do. What's your take on the farm market, and especially talk about the farm market overall? In Israel, somewhere that I have been, unfortunately, in a few years, and it's something that I know it comes here, but what exactly you must be? I mean, I know you do know well the market there.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So here's how I kind of think about it. I think that about 90% of the Sfarim are via the big publishers and the big distributors. And they're on all of the stores, big and small, right? So I'm talking about Ozer Hadar. I'm talking about Yefenov. I'm talking about...
Now, just to clarify for people, the difference is Ozer Hadar is a publisher and a distributor. And then you have stuff like you said, like Yefenov, which is they just distribute stuff. A lot of those stuff, either they publish it or they just distribute it. They're not, they don't, someone kind of even self-published it, but they're the distributors, just to be clear for people, right?
Not only that, Yefenov are publishers, distributors, and stores.
Right, all right.
We could talk about the significance of that also. But just to answer your question, so you know the big publications, Mossad Rav Kook is another good example. Those Sfarim are going to be everywhere. I don't have to try so hard to follow the activity. Of those places, Zichron Aharon, Mechon Yerushalayim, all these places. They're everywhere. They pop up everywhere. They're in every library, and the publishers are fairly, they're very cooperative, and it's not very difficult to work with them. They're set up to fill certain orders, and it's very easy most of the time. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult, but most of the time it's pretty easy. But then there's that other 10% of the market, which is really where I need to focus most of my time. And that is all the self-publishers that they're only going to be in a few stores. Some of them might be with distributors, so you'll have them in a little bit more stores. Some of them, don't even want distributors, right? This is all financial. It's a question of finance. Like, how big of a cut do you want of every sale? That'll dictate if you want to go through a distributor or not. On the other hand, distributors, they help you make more sales and they help you, deal with a lot of the monetary, transactions, between the store. It's not so easy to, to leave Sfarim in the store and expect the store to, give you money a few months later based on how many copies they sold. It's, it's very hard to work with stores, and the distributors are good at that. So there, there's pluses and minuses, but as far as the information of how do I break down this farm market? So there's about, again, I don't know the 100% of farm. I don't know how many farm are published a year. I know how many I find, right?
I said likewise. I don't either know.
Exactly. I don't know if anyone can answer that question, but in my estimation, there's about 10 to 15% of, self publications that you have to be quick, you have to be early, and you have to be very, very well informed in order to know about them. If you're just going to your local farm store, you're not going to see it, right? So in America, you'd have to go, from what I understand, probably to a place like Beagle Eyes to see that kind of stuff, right? So there are stores like that. There are stores like that here. that they're good at working with, you know, self-publishers, and, you know, they're good at it, and they also, it's kind of like their niche. So people who are looking for that kind of stuff end up going there. And, you know, so obviously I try to, you know, the way for me to get to so many people, so many authors, so many mechabrim that are publishing Sfarim, you know, I have to put myself in places where these Sfarim kind of come together. So if that's distributors, then I have to be in touch with distributors. And if that's stores, then I have to be in Sfarim stores. So that's what I do. I go to stores. I look through newspapers for ads. I am on every list that I know of. I follow Sfarim Chatter. That's the only reason I'm on Twitter, as you know. But I've been having a good time since I got here.
Right. So I guess I would add, follow up to this also, really same question is, as you know, personally, because you're so involved in it, how do you see the market there? Not from a library point of view. Now, moving on from what you do in your job, about from your personal view? How do you view the market? I guess that's a very broad question. Just what's your take on it? Obviously, we're talking about the different machonim, we're talking about different stores, we're talking about distributors, publishers, all of that. Being that you're in contact with them and know them, what's just, I just want to take whatever way you want to go with that question.
Okay, so. Okay, so there's listen, the machonim are, like I said, they're the machonim. Everyone kind of knows about them. They know what's happening. You can follow them on social media a lot of times. Certainly, you know, they have ads in the newspapers. As far as the smaller stuff, so another way that I like to kind of ensure that I'm everywhere, and, you know, to your point, I'm also, you know, that this is how I view the Sfarim market, and that's why I do this. So I look at it also like a little bit from a I don't want to use a big word, but I look at it from, you know, different communities. So let's say, I'll give you an example. There's a website and a store called the Sephardic Library, Hasifriya Hasfaradit. And they have their own goal of, they're a distributor and a store and a publisher, and they have their own goal of distributing and selling all Sfarim that are written by, you know, about, you know, from the, you know, from Sfardim Mechabrim, or about Sfardi Minhagim, or, you know, Yemen, just, you know, that whole genre. So they're doing a lot of work for me. Right. And because they're, you know, they're offering, you know, certain authors and publications, they're offering them money if they're able to sell Sfarim. So they're also, you know, they have that upside that I can't necessarily offer them, or it's not inherent in what I'm offering them. But I could use their work. I can go on their website and I could, I feel like I could be mostly updated on a lot of the things happening in that world. Obviously the same thing goes with, you know, different, sects of Hasidism, and, you know, so for example, there's a, if you want, maybe I'll take you on like a virtual tour of Gula and Mea Shearim, but, you know, my first stop, I'm always in touch with Girsa, cause they get pretty much everything.
And for people that just jump in, for people that don't know, they now send emails every day. So people that want to get, you can just sign up, you can just email them, sign up for the email, and you'll get the new stuff all the time.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, it wasn't so easy to sign up. I think maybe they became more lenient.
Yeah, it's a little better. At the beginning, it was a bit messy. It's better now. And they do send out every day, you know, basically every day, pictures of new stuff, a lot of pictures, even more than what Sfarim Chatter posts.
Tons and of pictures.
Even with their watermark and whatever. Go ahead.
If you're following Girsa, you're in my opinion updated on a very, very large chunk of what's happening. Because that'll cover, again, it'll cover most of the Sfarim, you know, the big publications, but almost every mechaber in Yerushalayim is getting there, and then a lot of the ones in Bnei Brak and Beitar, Elad, and all the other cities, everyone finds their way to Girsa. So I'm in contact, you know, I'm in touch with them a lot. good friends with those guys. But then I'll walk around. I'll go to the Sephardic Library, which is in Shkunat HaBukharim. So it's, I gotta, you know, cross Kikar Shabbat. I gotta go all the way down for those who are familiar. But you know, I get there closer to the Davidka. There's a Chabad store called Heichal Menachem, and they, I could also, a very good website, so I could follow the website. And then if I have any questions or things I want to follow up, like, is this a reprint or is this an actually, you know, a new edition, and what is this and what is that, you know, so if I want to see the actual safer, hold it in my hands before I decide if I need to order it or not, I could just go down there, and they have everything, everything Chabad, much everything. And then for, you know, way, way down the road, Meir Sharim, there's a similar store for Breslov. You know, there's a big Breslov yeshiva, and there's a store next to it. That place is a little bit of a mess. Like, they don't even have a computer. They don't know what's there. It's like mostly what you'd expect from a Breslov store. But, you know, because those places exist, other places like Girsa aren't as makpid to you know, follow up and hold those farm, because, you know, in the neighborhood there's better alternatives. Yeah, and then, you know, I have to go to Yefenov, and I have to go to Or HaChaim, because, you know, Manny's in English, because, you know, sometimes they'll distribute something that, you know, it's only there, or it's mostly there.
Yeah, but in general, there's not, I mean, is what I remember from me, recall from being there. There's not exactly, people think like there's nothing really there, though. Nothing interesting. Right,
No.
What about the Sifrei Yeshiva?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So that's a little bit further down the road, Sifrei Yeshiva. Obviously, you get everything that's happening in Mir. In my opinion, they're just as good as Girsa, to be honest. They just don't have that. What? They don't have that emailing service. So that's not as good. Especially for someone like me, who I'm trying to work from an office. I don't want to, you know, I'm not out and about all day long. But every time I go there, I see almost everything I've seen in Girsa, and I see a bunch of things I didn't see in Girsa. A lot of times it's smaller things, you know, like some bacher, you know, wrote up, you know, a sikum, Gemara Peirush Tosfot, you know, stuff like that. Or, you know, the Tamtzit Nekudos on Mishnah Brura. So, you know, but if it's being sold in stores, then I want it. So, yeah, definitely Sifrei Yeshiva. Definitely, definitely, definitely you should go there.
I just want to ask you, for people's interest, do they, both of them, where, if someone wants academic stuff, stuff printed by academic press, other than going directly to them, where does, I mean, I know Girsa sells that, the Sifrei Yeshiva also.
Girsa hides them in the back of the store.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's not on the front shelf, and that and Rav Kook stuff. But they tell me the Rav Kook stuff sells really, really quick. It's starting to catch on, but that's the insider scoop for those who are listening. But yeah, they hide that stuff in the back, and like if you follow the emails, like sometimes they'll send like separate emails, like, you know, this email is other Sfarim, you know, and then that's like the code for. You know, if you don't want to see any Divrei Kfira, so don't open this email. But yeah, so you can see a little bit of that in Girsa. I wouldn't go to Girsa for that. Where can you buy? So first, I mean, listen, you have in Hebrew U, or on most campuses in Israel, you have a store called Akademon, which is, it's basically just a regular store, but they have a lot of books, and they have a lot of the academic publications, and, you know, almost everything you want, you could probably buy there. And listen, the academic stuff is available online. You know, we're not really in the days where you have to, you know, go down to the store to find them. Another store I want to mention. There's a lot of things in English, and if not in English, then by American rabbis that are, you know, even if they're published in Israel, either they're in English or they're in Hebrew, but they're like American rabbis. But a lot of that community kind of revolves around a store on King George called Pomerantz. So also, like, definitely anything in English, like all the Magid books in English, like yours is not going to have that. Manny's might have that, but probably not. Like, if you're looking for, you know, like the Koran stuff and all that kind of thing, but also some private publications. Again, not a ton, but there's definitely some things there, and I definitely have to go into that store every now and then to see what's going on. And they're also very nice. But yeah, the Pomerantz on King George is like another example of, you know, a kind of nook that I go to make sure that I've seen everything and that I know what's out there. I know what's going on and that I'm well informed.
Right. Interesting. So about the academic stuff, that's really the kind of thing in America, you kind of basically have big license because it's really, really not. And even there, you have to get it as it comes new. It's really not carried here. Otherwise, you can get it through Eliezer Broad who ships it. But it's hard to get the stuff, the academic stuff here. Like I said, they are online, but it's hard to get it here. The other thing I want to bring up is the.
You know, I'll just say about the academic stuff. If it's new, then you could a lot of times get it in just your regular bookstore, like your, you know, in Israel you have like Stamatsky or Tzomet Sfarim. You know, it's the equivalent to like Barnes and Noble or something. But you're just your regular bookstore that's going to be in your in, you know, the local mall in your neighborhood. If it's new, if they don't have it, they could probably order it for you special. And like I said before, I mean, you could see it online. But I guess that's part of the fun things about living in Israel is that, you know, any, you know, in Hebrew bookstores, you can get that kind of stuff.
Right. Here, it's pretty hard. The other thing I wanted to go to is the sale. You know, this we'll get to Shlua Sefer, but just in general sales. I mean, one that's going on right now.
For sure.
Masada Cook. So unfortunately, that's something that happened. Obviously, they're only online now, and they're just they're doing that now. So maybe tell people about that. I was there once by the sale, and tell people what your impressions of it are. Is it great? Is it so amazing? Yeah, just talk about it in general.
Well, first of all, it fits directly into what I was talking about of like trying to. You know, use different communities to, you know, go through sales that happen in certain communities to make sure that you're aware of everything that's going on there. So there's a lot of sales like that. One of them is what you mentioned, you know, there's Musar of Cook and there's some other sales around them that I'll mention in a second, but there are some more sales. First of all, there's the Yad Kislev sale that started about, was it 7-8 years going now? You know, very, very good for basically all Hasidic works, especially Chabad, but you know, it's a good time to, you know, they have a very detailed catalog, and it's also very fun to go down there. I really enjoy going there, and then I can kind of catch up on if I missed anything, you know, Hasidic. It'll probably be there. And there's a smaller Hasidic Sfarim sale that not everyone knows about. It's actually it's hosted by Hamodia, the newspaper. It happens in the summer. I was only there once. Last year was the first time I ever even heard about it. So I went there last year, and you know, I saw some things like, you know, if the Yad Kislev sale is like, it's most of the bigger Sfarim, you know, the big titles, the newer editions of the classics, and you know, they also have a lot of books for like modern Orthodox, you know, like the you know, like all sorts of like. Shirim on Breslev, and, you know, Elchanan Nir, and they haven't, I don't think they've had Rav Shagar yet, but, you know, Rav Dov Zinger, and, you know, things like that. Rav Hillel Zeitlin, they'll have things, you know, by him. But this Hamodia one is, like, hardcore, so, you know, that's, like, you know, what's going on in Bells right now, and what's going on in Sanz right now, and what's going on in Vizhnitz right now, like, they'll all have their own stands. You know, like, Ashlag, he still has, you know, they still have like a Beit Midrash that's running, and they're still active and publishing works. Ashlag, it's not a Hasidim, but you know, the Talmidim of Rav Ashlag.
Where is the sale? How can people find out about it online? Is it where is it? Is it all that kind of thing?
So that last one is not online. It's just, you know, you just have to be there. Another one, you know, now I'm getting back to your question. So now there's the Mosada Rav Cook, and obviously they're big enough to kind of move online. But unfortunately, one of my favorite sales of the year is it happens at the same time right behind Mosada Rav Cook. Mosada Rav Cook is it's almost the entrance of Yerushalayim, like right at the corner of Givat Shaul over there. And right behind there is Yeshivat Merkaz Arav, Rav Cook's Yeshiva. And they have a sale there in the cafeteria at the same exact time. And they'll sell just all of the Dati publications. So I'm talking, first of all, the big ones are Har Bracha, Or Etzion, you know, a lot of the Magid stuff will wind up there and so on and so forth. But then you'll see a lot of smaller yeshivas, smaller Rosh yeshivas, smaller kolels, and just, you know, things. Chava, by the way, is a big, big one. Sifriat Chava, Sifriat Beit El. But you'll also see there are like a lot of smaller yeshivas and a lot of smaller, you know, community rabbis that I always find a lot of books there. I think last year I had a thread where I took everything that I found there that was new and that I only knew about from there. I think it went like 15 sfarim at least. I don't remember, but yeah, I really enjoy that sale. You know, just being from the Dati community, I really enjoy that sale. And also, I think part of the reason that it's so effective for me is because I spend so much time in Girsa and, you know, these Haredi places. But yeah, you know, you're laughing, but the Dati places, you know, they don't really know how to get into that world. And even if they do make their way in, you know, sometimes the cover is colorful, and sometimes, you know, there's things like biblical criticism and you know, some, maybe some mechkar, and it's a different type of learning at this point.
Right.
Not for everybody, but a lot of the time it's it doesn't always make its way. It doesn't always fit perfectly. But you know, they're actually the Dati community, I think, even though they're more technologically advanced, they could do a lot better. At least the self-publishers can do a lot better at, you know, propping up and advertising their things. Like even, you know, the yeshiva I went to, O'Neill, there's tons of sfarim and good ones that no one knows about because they're not sold anywhere.
Right. I find that they don't sell them here in America. Those stuff is really not sold here. And then even their websites are like, whatever. But I want to point about Masarav Cook, but I had a fight with the guy, people on Twitter. They're busy like, Masarav Cook, like, no, it's not. Sorry to burst everyone's bubble. No, it's not. Running it or not.
I mean, No. Masarav Cook is not the tea at all. It hasn't been the tea for years.
People are
100% crazy.
And they lecture to me. Oh, I told the guy they're Chevroner, right? Chevroner is Dati. I said, I'm not fighting on Twitter with people. You don't understand what you're talking about. They're basically a publishing house for people that want to know now. They're publishing
100% Haredi. I mean, yep. You know, they'll throw a bone every now and then.
It looks crazy. The guy, the black hat, they got the tits, they look exactly like a Shalmi Haredi.
They're 100%. Not only are they 100% Haredi, but they're, you know, they say if you look at like the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rashba, so you know the Masarav Cook symbol on the binding is it's you can't really see it. It's like
took
a
it
stamp,
off.
Right? They took it off. So originally, you know, at least the rumor that I was always told was that they did that because they didn't want, you know, Rav Cook, it wouldn't sell in you know, the yeshivish world. But nowadays, I mean, you go to the book sale, the book fair, everyone's Haredi there. I mean, sure, you have Dati people also because they're also interested in, you know, in the Sfarim, and they, but you know, there's no busha, there's no, you have no problem being Haredi and going in and buying. It's not like walking into, you know, whatever Sfarim store, you know, boutique used bookstore that's you know, in the middle of the shuk or whatever.
Right, and you know, so people go, oh well, what do you mean? They still publish Rav Cook, and they still put out some stuff. They do, but they become a publishing house. They just half the stuff they publish.
That's not true. Listen, they just put out Shmone Kvatzim,
right?
After years where they haven't put out anything of Rav Cook's.
No, but they are not true. They have redone. They redid the Siddur. They redid Orot. They have redone some stuff. They are redoing.
They didn't put a lot of work into any of that.
As in general, I'm not here to trash. They do a lot of nice work. But a lot of their stuff now is just private people publishing them, or just like with Margolius, yeah, I'm just retypesetting it. They're not even doing anything with half their work. And people think like, wow, it's like the gold standard. It's really not. A lot of their stuff.
Listen, for the Dati community, the store that's selling most of the stuff and the distributor that's distributing most of the stuff is Dabri Shir. Dabri Shir and Korin. Right. Dabri Shir and Korin, Magi, Toby, you know, all four of them. But, other than that, it's smaller yeshivas, smaller organizations. Like Tzohar is not a small organization, but an organization like Tzohar, the books aren't really in stores unless they're distributed by Dabri Shir. And even then, like Dabri Shir can only get you into so many stores because they don't really work with the Haredi stores with most of what they're offering. A lot of what they're offering is not going to get into a Haredi store. Like all these colorful Sfarim, you know, most grocery stores aren't going to hold them.
I mean, even most out of Coke, I don't know how well if it's really going to be sold, especially here. But I want to just mention one thing about side of Coke. You know, I sat there and knocked them. I just try to do that just so people should understand what they are. I think a lot of people don't understand. They still think they're the gold standard. I'm not trying to knock them. I just want people to understand what they are or aren't, and people should be well informed. But maybe I'll do a show just about some of their new stuff they did. I got a hold of some of it here in America. Beagle hasn't got it. And yeah. Some of it's very nice. I mean, really, some of it is really nice stuff.
They could very, very well be the gold standard, and you can make that argument, and then you or I can either agree or disagree. That has nothing to do with the question of are they Haredi or are they Dati. They're not Dati.
Right. So that number one is they're not Dati. Number two is are they the gold standard anymore? So they still have things that are still classic.
That's another question.
Right. So I'm talking about, you know, that kind of a thing. Like in general, I guess we can go there. I don't know how much you want to say. I don't know how much either of us want to, you know, say online. And
listen, I'm not an expert. I'm not, you know, I have impressions, but I'm not.
I'm the same. I want to listen in anger, listening live or after. To say my I could be 100% wrong, and or I could be half wrong, and I'm not here to. I'm saying your opinion of different machonim. I don't want to say lashon hara come out one or the other, but like, what are you? I don't think it's the gold standard today. I think some places do things better, some don't. Like, what are your take on, you know, Avat Shalom, Zichron Aaron,
right. I'm not saying this. I know that like people are going to think I'm like trying to be a cop-out. I'm not saying this to be a cop-out. I think I'm genuinely a fairly optimistic and fairly positive when it comes to these things. I think a lot of the mechonim have upsides and downsides. So like Avot Shalom do tremendous work with manuscripts. Really interesting things. Things that haven't been seen for hundreds and hundreds of years. In my opinion, you know, the aesthetics we could always argue about. In my opinion, they're very aesthetic, very, you know, some people don't like the glossy pages, this and that.
I want to jump in for a second. I know I'll keep jumping in here, but not only do they do the outside is good, the printing is good. I think they do a great job. Probably the number one machon, something comes out I'm excited about. It's probably them. And I understand a lot of stuff from them is obscure / Kabbalah.
You made my point.
But they do fantastic work. It looks beautiful. And the other thing I would mention about them is something that I wanted to mention earlier, which is a lot of the way that I shop, or I tell people, I mean, people don't have to shop this way. Obviously, most people don't. I understand that is you buy things that come out and that you're not going to see again. You pick up a safer, you know, it's not going to see again. Avot Shalom has a track. They hardly ever reprint anything. So if something comes that you want, you better buy it. You may not get it again. And a lot of some of this really cool, unique stuff.
Right. So I'm a big fan of Avot Shalom as far as their work. But like you said, it's obscure. I personally buy, I think, you know, maybe 90-95% of that, would I buy it for my personal library at my house at those prices? Absolutely not. Even if I'm running like a Kolo, I don't know if I'm buying most of that stuff. You have to be, you know, really, really into history, really, really into, you know, rabbinic literature. You know, there's one thing to find it interesting, and it is interesting, you know, like all these obscure rabbis that you've never heard of. And then you read about, you know, they write about them. Usually they have very detailed introductions, very, very good work and good research. And you read about them and they're really fascinating figures. You've just never heard of them and you probably never will hear them again. So the work is beautiful. It's super important. A great, great contribution to, you know, the Jewish literature and the Sfarim market and Jewish history and all that stuff. As a customer,
There was a while that Machon Yerushalayim was really doing that with a lot of Hungarians and other, you know, European rabbis. And they still are. Really good jobs, great work, manuscripts, you know, less obscure, a lot of tshuvas. I mean, I guess, but like, who's using that? And they did a lot of great work with that also. And they still do some of that.
Yeah. Listen, again, the importance of it is, undeniable. I'm not here to dispute that. But if we're talking to people who are going to the Sfarim stores, you know, I can't blame you if you're not interested in, you know, some Hungarian rabbi that you've never heard of, or some, you know, rabbi from, you know, wherever, you know, Iraq or Iran or whatever it is, from 300 years ago, you know, Yaakov Arofe. I mean, you know.
putting out all. Well, Gemini Tov on Beya is important. They redid it. I think they put out his. They just put out a few new ones. Avachalom, I think, yesterday or today. I thought you're from yourself.
I am excited for every sefer that they put out because I read the introductions and I learn so much about Jewish history.
But right, their journal, for anyone who doesn't know, their journal Menagnozim is really fascinating.
Menagnozim is amazing. Sure.
And also, it's not so expensive. It's glossy paper and it's pictures and straight through, you know, of facsimiles, and it's really not expensive. It's I think less than $20 or less in America. So it's really cool thing. I mean, I guess. You know, Mechon Yishalayim, I want to mention for people. I mean, you mentioned Masarav Cook. A lot of these companies, Mechon Yishalayim, right? They're just, first of all, there is a lot that they did. There's less to do now, but they still do a good job, very good job, but they only really publish by Shavua Sefer, right? They only really publish once a year. Otherwise, it's just a few things here and there. Mainly one a year they publish everything.
Yeah, like, but, you know, it comes out to, I don't know, around 20 new Sfarim a year.
Right. Yeah, it's 20. Same as Masarav Cook, probably. Right.
Vem, Zichron Aharon, Otzara Poskim, they all have the Shavua Sefer together. It's because they all use the same distributor. They all use the same distributor, so they all have the Shavua Sefer together. And it's a fun week. I always go there. And yeah, it's like you said, if you're looking, I mean, some of it's like really classic stuff. Like, listen, Mechon Yerushalayim's Minchas Chinuch is the best, right? It's the only one.
Right. Really, and they're working on the new one. They're working on the new one.
Right. Yeah, listen, all these places, like, again, I'm not trying to be a cop out. I think really, truly, all these places have their advantages and their disadvantages. I'll give you another example. Oz V'Hadar, you know, what they're doing with the Rambam now, I think is amazing. You know, to bring him in all these different contexts and all, and everyone that's discussed him and the Yalkut Mefarshim on him. And it's for a yeshiva bacher, it's really, really, really good. It's way too big to hold in your house. But if, you know, for a yeshiva to buy it, for a shul to buy it, why not? Right?
It's expensive for a shul too, I think.
Okay, fine. But, you know, it's on Otzar Chochma, whatever. But why on earth would you use the Vilna edition of the Rambam? Why not use a better one? Why not, right. You know, why not incorporate some of the, you know, the better manuscripts? You know, people have laid out already all the work.
Well, they probably, because they didn't, what, they, that's the they, that's the text that they used in there?
What?
In the Eisva Hadar when they use Vilna, what's the
text? Yeah, they use Vilna.
Because they probably, I'm going to guess, they probably didn't get Rishus to use Frankel. That's probably what happens. You want them to redo the whole Rambam, like, to compete with Frankel? What should they? They're not going.
No, I'm not saying they should redo Frankel, but listen, they could use better ones, but, or they could mention, I don't know. I don't even know if they mention, you know, different yourself. I don't know.
Right.
But listen, you're being, I think, a little bit, melamed tzchus on them because, listen, I
have to try about, a little.
listen, about a year and a half ago, I attended an assembly, I guess, of people who are, you know, self-publishers, people who are working on publications. It's mostly people who are working on old Sfarim, and, you know, redoing them, resetting them, working on new editions. And they brought Oz V'Hadar in to speak, the main guy, Pomerantz is his name. And he came off so conservative in the conserve sense of the word, you know, talking about how he keeps in all the mistakes, you know, like there's one, I think in the beginning of Brachos, like Daf Yud Aleph, I think, there's a Rashi that says Pesach Sheni and it's supposed to be Perek Sheni. Like it's the stupidest thing to keep in there. Like of course he doesn't mean Pesach Sheni. It's a mistake.
Right.
Switch to Perek Sheni. No one wants to read Pesach Sheni. But you know, the Rebbe gave him a whole vort on it, on why it has to say that. So they keep in the Pesach Sheni. And I think it's the same thing with the Rambam. You know, Rabbi Akiva Eiger used a Vilna edition of Rambam, so I'm going to use a Vilna edition of Rambam. You know, good enough for him, it's good enough for me. I think that's more of the mindset. But listen, what they're doing.
People like that against the Frankel, they still look in their defense. And, you know, defend each company. Each company really does things poor and things well. I mean, in their defense, there are things that they've really done well. I always tell people, I still, if you have the money, they're, if you're going to buy Macrae's Gedolos, their Macrae's Gedolos Merchevah 7 volume, I think is the best bang for your buck, and I think it's a really good job.
Okay, you know, but do you want 7 volumes on just the Ramban? Just the Rambam in 7 volumes.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
I know you're not talking about that. I'm giving you a counter.
Yeah.
They blow up these tiny sperm into seven volumes.
True. Yes, that's true. And it is excessive. And some of the stuff is silly. But
forget excessive. But, it makes it expensive. It's expensive. People can't afford it.
I don't know who they're appealing to. Half their stuff, I think is there really a market for all that? Or are they just getting money and they just have a little to support and they're just putting it out? I can't imagine there's a market for half these farms they're putting out with
expenses. I'll tell you what, I think they're funded. I think they're funded ahead of time. I think their expenses are mostly paid for.
It must be, because half the stuff don't make sense that they're doing. I mean, it doesn't make sense. For example, to touch on another one, to go to Zechonaran for a second, I know it's, you know, so for them, sometimes just they do the farm look nice and the font is nice and everything, and they're doing a great service by taking obscure tshuvas and midrashim that never been redone and now look beautiful and now readable.
Especially with the midrashim.
Yeah, and then that's really important. Just as a caveat to start off, that is really important and they deserve a ton of credit and a schus for that. On the other hand, people have to understand a lot of their work has mistakes, and they're not giving you the gold standard, and people should just understand that. That doesn't mean that their stuff is terrible and worthless.
And just, by the way, it really, really depends on who's working on the sfarim.
That's another thing.
There are people working there that do a really, really good job.
Correct. I've been told. I was told that everyone said the Lavush is a great job. I don't know. I don't know. And I can't say about each one. Like you said, it depends who did it. But again, the thing that has to be said is that they're doing something that, and there's no half these farms, there's no money in there. Come on, at random tshuva, there's no money for them. They're doing this, you know, the Hagel Torah Lodge, and they deserve a lot of credit for it. They really do. I don't want to just go out and throw them under the bus.
I started out, you know, I think maybe I've been mostly negative about these places, but I can't emphasize enough how, all these midrashim that, you know, Zichron Aaron puts out, and, you know, maybe they're obscure, maybe this and that, but it's the first time that they're being reprinted, you know, not in Rashi type with nice letters, and it's a big sefer,
right.
And you can read it. Like, listen, they're Yefei Tohar. It's, you know, we could talk about the, you know, the mistakes, but
it caused a big tumult.
It's a popular sefer that people needed, and it's now a good edition of it, you know.
So for people that don't know, there was a big, they put out Yefei Tohar Medrash. There was a big tumult about that on Yisrael Chachma Forum with mistakes and whatever. But the issue with that really is that the only Debereshus, and it's three volumes, they've been forever
I think they're working on it.
No, I think so, and hopefully they'll see the mistakes and they'll fix it.
Yeah, maybe by the time Shmos comes out, they'll have a reprint or a second edition of Bereshis with some corrections. But even the Bereshis that's out there now, right, is a Sfarim store. Is it a better Sfarim store with that edition of Yefei Tohar or not? I think it is, right? I think if I'm going to Sfarim store, I'm dead set on buying myself a Yefei Tohar, right? It's in the conversation.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. Like I said, they've done it's a good thing that they did that. I think, and from the old days beginning, when we started Masada of Cook, I think I just want to tell people that they really do still do a very nice job on a lot of things. I think the question, first of all, about them is a lot of stuff is like people are publishing through them. I think the question I really have for them is they started a Toys R Us, they never finished. They're not done the Toys R Us. They're not even done the Rajman Baba Basra. What happened? This is years now. Half the stuff they just, like, the most important stuff they're doing, they don't do. So they are redoing Yaakov W. Alone's, you know, Shita, and they did now the second volume. Great. Like, they're kind of not sure why certain things they stopped and didn't start, but they still do. They're putting out the stuff at Ibn Ezra. They're still doing a very, very nice job on a lot of things. They are. And I didn't mean to, Shmaya Klatsim looks really nice, you know, for Rav Cook also. I didn't mean to kill them. I just wanted to clarify for people here, I guess. People didn't. Sometimes I get a lot of questions about them. I think people don't really understand what exactly they are or aren't. I don't know. I guess that's so. I don't know. What did you hear anything about Shavua Sefer this year yet? What's going to be or no?
The Machon Yerushalayim one?
No, in general, Shavua Sefer, because it's usually Shavua is soon.
I would assume that the, you know, the bigger distributors will be able to move things online.
Right.
Things are starting to lighten up in Israel, but I don't think that usually it's around June. I don't think by June we'll be having hundreds of people by the train station. Someone wrote in the comments here by the train station. Absolutely. The train station, Shavuot Sefer is great, great, great.
Yeah.
It's very, mostly secular, but, you know, they have a lot of the academic stuff. And about the Dati, you know, in the past few years, they've had, you know, a lot of the Dati yeshivas have come together to sell some Sfarim at that book sale. Also, so that's also like a good place to go if you're looking for that. But yeah, I don't see that happening. I find it hard to believe.
So, someone had an interesting question all the way in the beginning that wanted to know what was the most exciting publication to cross your desk in recent months, past year? I know that's a really hard question, but for yourself personally, do you have an answer for that? Or
Too hard. There's a lot. I think the most recent time that I got really excited was the Tshuvot Riazaken, Remy Reiner and Pinchas Roth.
Right. That was through Mikitin Adamim / Magnus Press.
Yes. Yes. That was, you know, that's enormous. And very soon we should be seeing a similar publication on Rabbeinu Tam by Remy Reiner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's ready. I mean, the last time I saw him was right before coronavirus in the library. And he told me it was, this is like the, you know, around Purim, beginning of March. And he told me that March 8th was his deadline to hand it in. And he said he's going to be a little bit, late. So that's a long time ago already. So, you know, hopefully, you know, who knows where this thing is going to take us. But he's pretty much ready to publish it.
Is this also Mikitin Adamim?
I don't know. It might be Bar Ilan.
Hmm.
Not sure. I don't remember, but it's coming soon. So those are very exciting. I guess if you scroll around my Twitter feed, you'll find the things that not everything there excites me. Sometimes it's just things that are in the library, and I try not to do things that you've already done.
Right.
But if I see it first, or if it's something that I don't think will really get to you because it's a little bit local,
right.
So I try and post things that arrive. Listen, there's been a lot.
Gotcha. Okay, sounds good. I guess we were like all over the place, but I guess that was the point, just to discuss Sfarim and various different things, and we can always do it again, that different stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be happy to.
Okay, great. So thanks for coming on, and I guess it's pretty late for you, so
All right, listen, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. We should do it again.
Okay, take care.
All right, I'll see you. Bye-bye.